Welcome to another Team Effort Disclaimer. This episode does not feature Lawrence Mooney, but it does feature pieces of sensitive information. Therefore, Team Effort has turned to a time-honored classic, the beep. You'll hear it used to not only protect the innocent, but the guilty. And in case you're wondering, this is Nickelback.
Hello, I'm Ed Caverly, and welcome to the Team Effort. We're here to help you be a better person from the inside out. Here, as always, is our producer and fact checker, Jay. Hello, mate.
Hello there.
Today is all about being in the moment, not looking too far into the future or dwelling on the past. Just be here now. Today's guests are experts in being smack bang and up to their eyeballs in the moment. Intro music, please. Is this Nickelback?
Yes, it is.
Turn it down then. We do not want that.
Before the singing starts.
There it is. That's our actual intro music. Our first guest is always in the moment. He's never, ever, ever, ever thought about the future and what kind of jail time his actions might bring his way. Fresh from sold-out seasons in Melbourne and in Sydney and a six-day break in Noosa, it's the master of bang rock stations, swingers party cupboards and Instagram deals. For real, he's for real. He's here. He's not a performance artist. And for some lucky ladies, he just might invite you to feel the thousand thread count. Hello, Ash Williams.
Good morning, good afternoon. Give me a call. That's it.
Okay, our second guest. Our second guest was last seen rubbing shoulders with Peter Hellier backstage at the Logies and rubbing his hands together with glee when he saw the new Blu-ray artwork on the re-release of some John Carpenter classic films. But then again, who wasn't? He's working on a novel at his house right now, not in a cafe. And as shocking as that sounds, he's here and he's ready to go. He's the glue that glues the team effort together, just like the kid in Captain Planet who shot love out of his ring. Get up and get frisky. It's Mr. Tony Martin.
The ring is ready to go.
Load up the ring, son. We're going to need some of that love. Our third guest is making his team effort debut. You will know him as the owner of Charlie the Wonder Dog or Tommy G from Tommy G and the Fat Man. He's co-written or co-something so many great things that to list them would be all the time we have today. The Castle, The Late Show, That Fishing One, Warwick Todd Books, Mulvania, Thank God You're Here, Have You Been Paying Attention, Utopia, and Yasmin's Getting Married. He's got a wonderful... anecdote about a Melbourne newsreader he can't tell today, but he's got plenty of other saucy gear that he can. It's Tommy Gleisner.
Hello, Ed, everyone. A delight to be here in the Team Effort bunker.
Hang on, final, another?
Yes.
But normally that would be it.
No, Tone.
What's going on?
No, the team has been expanded, my friend, much like when they invent a new portfolio for a minister. Our final guest is the son of a former minister making his team effort debut. He's an actor, he's a writer, he's a producer, and a legendary improviser. He won awards for his portrayal of Kerry Packer, he won Tropfest Films using his own family, and he won Hearts and Minds for his portrayal of insane New Zealand terrorist Kiwi Dave in Water Rats. And what about the time he tried to blow up the Blue Heelers courtroom? A list of acting credits as long as Ash's list of actual creditors. Please welcome Mr. Rob Carlton.
Thank you very much.
What the hell is going on in here? Look at this crew.
Hang on, not just blowing up the police station Blue Heelers. Didn't you blow up the headquarters on Water Rats twice?
I did. Different character, but certainly modus operandi. I had a beef against the good people of Water Rats.
Once with Bizzo and once with Freelzy.
As usual, Tony, your memory is frightening.
Oh, yeah.
And the sort of the detail that you're able to sort of scour out of the backyard of history is largely irrelevant, but always delightful.
Rob, did your evil characters have character names?
How dare you for a moment? What you're saying, like bad guy number one?
Yeah.
Mate, I think you've discovered that Kiwi Dave is a Google term in and of itself.
Yeah, it is.
And the second guy I played, I don't remember his name, but I do remember I disposed of a body improperly at sea. And as a result of that, I sort of earned the ire of the Water Rats team.
The Water Rats were not keen on that. What was Kiwi Dave's problem with the establishment? What was it that had irked Kiwi Dave so much that he thought he had to blow the joint up?
Oh, look, obviously Kiwi Dave was reasonably paranoid due to the amount of speed that he'd snorted through the course of his life.
Was that backstory that you invented or was that on the page?
Well, irrespective of whether I invented it or not, Ed, the real concern was I approached an older New Zealand actor, the New Zealand actor that was in the country at the time, about accent lessons. And he said to me, yeah, look, don't worry about the accent lessons. Have you ever blasted speed? And I said, what do you mean blasted? Have you ever injected speed? Have you ever injected it? Yeah. I said, look, I'm really after just the accent lessons. He says, look, don't worry about that. This is character acting. This is a great television show. Jeez. Right? And you want to go. He said, so I can score you some speed. He says, I'm off it now. But I still got the
needles. Right, okay. Right now?
He said, but I've still got the needles.
Okay, right? Can I just ask, Rob, is this an actor who's now deceased?
No.
Oh, okay. It's a different one.
So you're not going to make that Russell Crowe joke, Tony. I think it's what we're trying to say now. Back away.
As we move on. Jeez. Ash, you're looking at Rob.
Oh, I love it. I think it's fantastic.
I thought you might.
Did you do it?
Oh, no, I didn't. Look at these again, and I think, Ash...
Did you do it?
Look, Ash, as an older actor to a younger actor, these are the decisions you face every day in this game, young man. Mm. And unless you can look into your own heart and make the right choice every day, it's a rough road ahead. It's a rough road ahead for you. And at the moment, I see clear eyes.
Thank you. I put some drops in.
If you meet some older New Zealand actors, can I suggest you run away before the decision is put to you?
Okay. I like that.
Can I just say, with regards to the deceased New Zealand actor, who I'm not going to name, the story I thought you were going to lead into was there's a well-known sound guy who I think most of us who have worked with, who worked with this actor in the 80s and told me that this actor... borrowed his American Express card in order to whop some cocaine up his ass. And I'm thinking, I reckon if you read the small print on the Express,
that would be in breach of...
Well, we've got our credit card expert here. Ash, which are the credit cards that allow the whopping as part of their rewards program? Here's our first beep of the show.
Done. And no, don't beep it. And... You pricks. Any credit card is good. Also, big shout out to them. They're doing some great credit cards at the moment.
Yeah, but for spending money, obviously, not for shoveling gear.
It's the shoveling gear chapter.
I'm not an expert in the shelving of drugs with regards to it being a sort of a better way of ingesting them. But surely if you were going to shove something up your ass, the credit card isn't the delivery mechanism.
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
I'd have chosen.
Tom, what do you think would be
I think it would be a rolled up banknote or something, would it not?
I thought a leaf blower.
Is this what people have to do when the nose is, destroyed?
Run out of capillaries,
I remember on Get This, somebody told us about, I think it was Tim Rogers told us that Stevie Nicks employed someone, like a roadie, whose job was simply to blow cocaine up the ass with a straw.
Because the capillaries had gone, Tommy.
And what would that job title be?
Drummer?
Yeah.
Percussionist?
Tour manager, I guess.
Tour manager. Yeah, that does make sense. And let's just go around the room very quickly and tell us the last time that you put in a tax return. Jay, which year was it?
2016.
Tone?
This year, I think.
Yeah, okay. Tommy?
Same again, this financial year.
Robbie?
Yeah, this financial year.
Ash?
2009.
Oh, my God. But
listen, this is it's a misnomer. People think you've got to lodge tax. We've been over this. I'm sick of people lodging. Don't lodge unless you are guaranteed by your accountant of a massive tax return. Ask your accountant, do you do guarantees? If they don't, walk.
But didn't you tell us like only a couple of episodes ago that you got some kind of massive rebate? Am I getting this?
You said that you got a lot in the bank. How much do you have in the bank right now?
At the moment, I was at 100,000. I'm now... I'm not even joking, at 60,000. I've lost 40,000. I should check the bank more, but in the last 3 months, I spent a lot on T-shirts and I gave them away for free.
Wow. Oh, it's your comedy festival show.
My comedy festival show. I wanted to sell the T-shirts,
that's
Tommy.
It's a business deduction, isn't it, Ash, if you're giving them away promoting
your show?
It
is if you put the return in.
See?
If you're part of the tax system, maybe that would be.
Come on, Tom.
That's the only problem with not lodging tax.
Now, just on that moment, I understand, Ash, Tommy, you sometimes, if when I see you around at work and stuff, you'll say, oh, how's Ash's love life going? And the good news is that I understand... You've had one of the most romantic 10-day periods of your life.
You're going to get me in trouble here, Ed. Okay.
I don't think so.
No, you are, because I this isn't going to be good for me because these girls listen to this podcast.
They don't.
They do.
They don't listen.
Anyway, I had a wonderful time. The last 10 days have been huge. I've been up in Noosa. I've been in Sydney. I'm fired up.
And now what happened? How much was the bill that came through? You rang me the other day and you said, Ed, I've got a romantic evening planned with a beautiful girl in Sydney and I've just saved $200.
Yes, so usually at QT Bondi, it's $549 a night.
But you were going by the hour, I guess, so that's... there's an instant saving there, Ash.
Absolutely, Tommy. And I found a deal online for $249. Okay,
wow.
That's $300. $300 cash in my back pocket. Okay, you've got to spend money to make money. Okay, so I booked myself a night there with $300 spare. I spent that on the minibar.
Wow.
So now we're even, Stephen. So we had a wonderful night
with her, though. You and her both had minibar, didn't you?
Oh yeah.
What items did we get? What were the expensive items in the minibar?
So all the champagne was in there, drank all of that. Beautiful. And then she said, can I have some Rocky Road? I said, yeah, of course you can. Everything is on me. And
that's a polite date though, isn't it? I have the Rocky Road?
But the Rocky Road.
I mean, because were you ever going to say, no, look, you were never going to deny a woman that, were you?
But you should have seen the Rocky Road. It cost $20.
Oh, so it was right she asked. It would have been presumptuous had she not.
Oh, that Rocky Road almost killed me. But
was it a nice evening?
It was a beautiful evening, Ed.
Romantic?
It was romantic.
Was it the most romantic evening you've had in the 10-day period?
Yeah, I'm going to go with yes. I met a nice girl in Noosa too who was studying business.
Right.
So that was romantic.
You guys had a lot to talk about.
We did. We did. And, you know, we'd never met before. We met on Instagram. And
Tommy, do you meet your wife on?
I sent her a telegram. But anyway, I want Ash, please keep going. You're in Noosa.
No, so then she said, I said, what's your name? And she said, you know, and I go, great. Well, what do you do? She said, I study business. I said, I'm a businessman. This is perfect. And then
star-crossed lovers.
And then I said, listen, when was the last time you had sex? And then she said, January. And then she said, and I love sex. And I said, do you? Do you want to have sex tonight? And she said, yes. I said, great. And then in the space of 2 hours, I managed to lose her in a little restaurant. And I went home thinking I'd lost her. And then she called me and said, where have you gone? I said, I thought you'd gone home. She said, I went to the toilet.
Yeah, when someone disappears in a little restaurant, that's... Surely, normally the first option, you wouldn't just leave the restaurant and assume she's been kidnapped.
I've got to say, it feels like 0 to 100 in 5 seconds there, Asher. Well, I mean, how much time elapsed before you, quote, lost her in the restaurant to you deciding this is, she hates me, it's over?
20 minutes. I was asking people, I called her too. It wasn't like I just didn't call her or text her. I called her 30 times, I reckon.
And all the time she's in the bathroom. Yep.
Tommy, it comes as a beautiful ending. Then she calls me on WhatsApp. I don't even know how she got my WhatsApp number.
Oh.
And I said, you know, her Instagram name came up and I said, it's at, you know, beat that. And and I said, what's going on? And she said, you know, where are you? I said, I'm back in my hotel. And she came back and we had a beautiful evening. We had a spa bath.
Rocky Road.
One a week, Tony. Come on. Yeah.
This one had a nut allergy.
See what I mean about romance, Rob?
Yeah, it's a delightful thing. And it's just lovely to know that it's out there. And if you are listening to this and you are unlucky in love and lonely of heart, you can look to Ash and know that there's a better life just around the corner.
Also, I've got a spare bedroom, male or female. Ed, do you mind if I give out my address?
I do not, of course I don't.
I'm going to do it because you know what? Yeah, bugger it. Yeah. Why the hell not?
Yeah, great.
Number one, in Hawthorne.
Let's go.
And you know what? I live opposite a Chinese restaurant and come over. A lot of people think I lie about my address. That's it, okay?
That's it.
Mum said to me, stop giving your address out.
No.
I said, why? She said, because someone might kill you. I said, that's fair enough.
But she doesn't understand modern romance.
She doesn't understand that, like, fuck it, let's just have fun.
Are you looking for, like, a lodger, a tenant?
No. Just, like, I don't know, if you're bored. You know, Rob was putting the call out for people who are bored and lonely.
Right.
Well, that's how you heard it.
Yeah. Come over.
I'm sure the tax department are glad to finally have this address too.
Funny. Wow. Be able to pin him down.
Yeah. Just over the course of the next 7 days, Ash, if you hear the words, you've been served, think back on this moment.
It's not a sassy dance movie. It is.
It doesn't work like that, though, Rob. You don't get served like that.
No?
No. You get a couple of emails, a couple of phone calls, ignore them, get on with your life. Okay. What else you got, Eddie?
Ready to move on.
Just like that.
Back to you for a moment, please, Rob.
Oh.
If I said to you Pete Budgie Markham and Jerry Barnes, what do all of those names have in common?
Pete Budgie
Markham and Jerry Barnes.
Jerry Barnes doesn't mean anything to me.
All right. What about Budgie Markham and Pete?
Budgie Markham, I think, may have been a character I played in A Country Practice.
Correct answer.
Just an innocent, bird-loving simpleton.
What happened to him?
Oh, he had trouble in Wandon Valley, I think.
Oh, wasn't he the man who had his testicles sent for analysis?
Look, he
run out of town, wasn't he?
No, he had an orchid. Look, I played a whole host of different characters that had a lot of things happen to them. I don't think Budgie Markham was on A Country Practice. I don't think he had the orchidectomy to which you refer.
Now, what happened to you on Summer Bay, though? What happened to your character on Summer Bay? Didn't he get run out of town?
Oh, well, obviously what happened to me was what all actors hope will happen.
Really?
And that's Big Alf. Yeah. Lines you up with those angry eyes of his and calls you a flaming mongrel.
It's all over.
and you got sent on your way.
I got sent out of Summer Bay by a very angry Alf. I wear it as a badge of honour.
Now, if you want to get the job you want, Tommy, you don't, famously, Working Dog aren't mad for auditions, are you? You don't spend a lot of time getting the audition tapes and that type of thing. So it's more kind of, Janie does a lot of the casting, you guys sort of do it as well. So you sort of see who's around. Yeah?
And if we think you might suit a project, we just get you to come in for a chat.
Yeah. The thing about that is, like, auditions, Tony, you've run auditions, you've been to auditions, Ash, myself, we've all been around, Rob, we've been around auditions. I don't know if they work all that well.
They're horrible.
Yeah. Thank you, Tony.
And often not really any indication of what someone's capable of.
Yeah, that's right.
Plus, everyone, it's all available on YouTube now. Basically, you could type in Ash, Ash's name, and you'd find some stuff on YouTube that you'd get a pretty good handle of the man that you were dealing with.
Yep.
On those various channels.
I think you can see his handle in some of those YouTube
You don't
videos.
Really need to get Ash to come in and, you know, learn a monologue from Shakespeare and run it past you,
Just
you?
Have a look at Scumbus.
Done. Yep. And also, it's very hard to get videos removed off YouTube, too. Oh, I'm trying. Hey,
here we
I'm
go.
Trying.
What's the process, Ash?
Well, I've emailed people. There's videos of me on there, and I said, get it down. And they just emailed me back saying, no, there's not much more I can do.
Oh. What's the video?
There's a video of me playing piano.
I wasn't expecting you to say that.
No, it's my very first show and I want it off.
Yeah.
Because people Google, there's not much stand-up of myself online and people Google that and that's all that comes up.
You don't think it's your best foot forward sort of thing?
No.
Yeah, so you're happy with all those tickling videos being up there?
That's good, that's classy, yeah.
But playing the piano might damage your reputation.
Yeah. Not that I'm going to do it, but what would the search terms be?
Hello.
If I wanted to
Tom's
find
got his phone
that.
Out.
I'm sure Jay's on it as we speak.
Yeah, Jay, there are two people currently Googling in the studio.
It's going to be three hits total.
It'll be over the three hits. Robbie, you've done a number of auditions over the years.
Yeah, many.
Now, when you go in there, do you ever think to yourself, because you're well known for also a writer, producer as well. So you would get the scripts and if there's some of the scripts that you get, especially audition scenes, Tone, you've seen this before, they're not the greatest scenes in the world. So if it's not the greatest scene in the world, it's for something that you're just auditioning for, Rob, do you just go, all right, just go in and give them exactly the lines they want, or do you try, you know, you try and add a little bit of Carlton flair to what's going on?
Oh, mate, it was different horses for courses. Okay. You know, I remember when I was very, very young, I was working with a director I'd not met before. Like I was in my sort of, you know, late teens. And I went into, it was an ad audition. And I went in, it was one of these end of English advertising directors. It was a nice guy. And he said, look, do you have any questions? I said, yeah, I do. He said, what's that? I said, the script.
How old are you at this point?
It's like 18. I said, the script. He said, what about the script? I said, no, that's my question. The whole script. And he said, what do you think? I said, it's rubbish.
Good start.
It's rubbish. And he looked at me, and to his eternal credit, he said, well, actually, there are a couple of things with the script that we're thinking of changing, but for the purpose of the audition, we're going to run with this today. I said, well here's an alternate for you. Why don't we not let it get in our way at all? And the script was in my hand. I just crumpled it into a ball, threw it out away.
Wow.
And said, let's just, I reckon we can come up with something a little better, can't we? So that was my first game. Anyway, it paid off. I got the job.
I worked
with that guy forever and a day.
What was the product, do you remember?
That particular one was a New South Wales Beat Police ad where I thought it came across as a little authoritarian. and not really what they were going for.
Nah,
and so in the classic anti, I thought, you know, sort of matter and method, I thought I'd give them an anti-authoritarian take as soon as I walked in the door.
Wow. Yeah. Because I remember seeing you once after you'd done an ad for, was it a beer ad?
Oh, that's right, yeah. And I don't, for the listeners, I think I was the only person in Australia that didn't drink beer at the time.
Oh, yes.
But it was a Tui's ad.
And it was a Tui's ad where you were, sorry, Tommy.
I was going to say, did you have to drink the product in the ad?
No. Oh. Rule number one, Tom, never drink the product, okay. Never eat the product.
Sure, especially if it's nasal that's, delivery technology.
That's right.
I've made that mistake once too often.
And once again, a huge shout out. There's a slight digression. A huge shout out to the actors. Ash, my favourite actors on television, commercial actors, are the people in laxative ads, of which there are three clear stages, Tone. One is, of course, the problem where you have
discomfort.
To,
yeah,
you have to. Yeah. We have to be leaving the house with a bag on your shoulder, ready to go out for some a game of netball or to go to your job. And then, just as you leave the house, Tone, just you stop for a second and put your hand close to your bowel.
Mm. Right.
Yeah. Ooh, discomfort with a slight frown.
Yeah.
Tommy, you can't sort of goose walk your way out of your house.
It's kind of subtle, but we get the point.
We know what's happening here. Then there's stage two, Ash, which is, of course, after you've had the, whatever the product.
Dulcolax.
Dulcolax. Are you working with them at the moment?
Hopefully. I watched a lot of Dulcolax commercials, can I just say, on the weekend. They were on loop in my hotel. Like, honestly. Anyway, that girl's a great actor. Keep going, Ed.
It's the second stage, Ed?
The second stage is once you've decided to have the product. Yeah. So that's the drinking stage. So they show you drinking the product, Robbie, just calmly drinking it away and then putting it down. Now, that's got to have nothing on it. That's got to have it's hard to smile and drink at the same time.
Anticipation of relief to come, but not there
as
yet.
As the glass goes down, you can't be like rubbing your hands together as you head off to Costco to get the 48-pack of toilet roll.
But there's a gentle sense of hope.
Once again, Robbie. Yes. Some hope.
That's all we need. Yeah.
And then the third stage, which is the most crucial, which is post-relief.
Yeah.
Oh.
You can't go too
You can't
hard
be doing sort of high fives and star jumps and things.
No. You can't be weighing yourself.
A star jump is very ill-advisable after a Dulcolax.
Because effectively what we're talking about is just the return of a basic human right.
True.
Oh, so it's human. So you're saying it's a human rights decision?
I'm just saying there's got to be a gentle humanity in that third act.
Yes. Absolutely.
But the ad that Ash is describing, that's all the one actor, is actress, isn't it? The one I think.
Yeah, and she's the best.
She does all three phases, Ed.
Oh. She does. And I tried to find her on the internet afterwards. And she...
What did you put in? relieved woman? What did you put into the Google? Because which girls from ads are you currently chasing? I know of three.
The Ford girl.
Yeah, but you're off her, aren't you? You don't like a new haircut.
Oh. Also, she's married, lives in LA.
Okay, right. Well, she's off the list. Yep.
Trivago girl.
Oh, we all love the Trivago girl.
She's got a pretty long-term boyfriend, lives on the Gold Coast, seems happy.
Rhonda from the Amy ad. So
and Kutut.
No.
Anyway.
And what about Dulcolax?
Dulcolax. So she was great. She's I couldn't find her. But just quickly, really quickly. Yesterday I was in a airport lobby, whatever. I was gonna poo my pants, right?
Ah, now this has happened before Rob, to Ash in an Indian airport, which ended up with what?
Undies in the bin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what, I had a huge keyboard, I'd never tried to get as much carry on. It was really outrageous, and I thought, I can't leave the keyboard there. I need to find someone. Because, you know, usually you know someone at an airport. I don't know. If you look around hard enough, you'll find someone you know. And so I stood up and was
especially
just...
Especially at Bogota Airport. There's heaps of friendly people willing to help you with... sure.
And you're wanting someone to mind your keyboard while you go and...
And my laptops. I had two laptops. I had a huge keyboard. And
a belly full.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was like, I've got about 2 minutes. So I stood up. Lo and behold, a guy started waving at me. A guy I haven't seen in 5 years. He owns nightclubs. And former stripper too, one of the best. And
he's going to know where the dunny is.
And I went up to him and said, listen, how are you, mate? He's with his wife and his two kids. I said, listen, mate, I've got about 2 minutes. Here's my keyboard. Here's my laptops. I'll be back in 10. And he said, yep, I know exactly what you're doing. Cheers. So anyway, if you're taking the Dulcolax and you're at the airport, just look hard for someone who you know.
Beautiful. Yeah, right.
Beautiful point to that story.
What I love.
It all came together.
What I like about it was friend in need. A friend in need is a friend indeed, isn't it? And he knew exactly that. He looked into your eyes and knew where you were at. I didn't.
We still don't.
No, his wife wasn't too happy about it, but lovely family.
Oh, what a beautiful.
Thank you. So if someone comes up to you at the airport and asks you to mind their 18 packets of headphones.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Right.
Well, just do them a favour.
I'll be back in 10 minutes.
He actually said to me earnestly, I'm not meant to look after other people's luggage. And yeah. I thought, I bloody hope you're joking, and just ran off.
Tone.
Yes.
It's time for a quote.
Uh-huh.
DJing is like mixing a drink. First you find the right ingredients, then you find the blend. Where is that from? It's from a movie. First you find the right ingredient, mixing a drink, then you find the blend.
Is it Christian Slater in Pump Up the Volume?
Well, you know what? Mm. That would make sense, and it's a great piece of history. Incorrect. Rob, Tommy, Ash, anyone want to dive in?
Is that the Tom Cruise cocktail movie? Because
you guys are wonderful people.
We're locked in the year 1989.
Talking about being in the moment. Yeah, if that Robbie? Moment is the late 90s. Okay.
Robbie?
I've got nothing.
You won't know this one. It's from Keanu Reeves in the low-budget thriller Knock Knock.
Now, what is that?
Now this is Blumhouse.
Is it a Keanu Reeves line? Because that does feel like a lot of words all in a row for him to say in one shot.
Yes, it was. Mm, it was all on him. Now this is the story when he was a DJ that was now an architect, and two girls, Ash, rocked up dripping wet one and said, "Oh, our car's broken down. Can we come and hang out with you, please?"
Jeez.
And then things turned south after a little bit of Robbie. I won't ruin it, mate, but it's pretty
spoiler alert.
Yes. Now, Keanu Reeves, you think to yourself, why is Keanu Reeves doing this very, very low budget thriller? Can anyone guess a scene that takes place 8 minutes after the two ladies rock up?
Oh, I do know this film, yes. It gets all a bit blue. It gets a bit Ash Williams at the airport.
How dare you, Tony?
Yeah, let's just say that they all share some rocky road.
Wow. So that's at what point in Keanu's career is that? Is that post-Speed?
Pre-Speed, has
so,
to be.
So about 3 or 4 years ago.
Thank you. It's what? Only 3 years ago.
It's on the way down.
So why, my question is to all of you, why would Keanu Reeves, there's a bit of, shower work with these two young hotties, but why is a massive movie star like that rocking up to work at a tiny budget thriller like that?
Where did they shoot it, Ed? Where was the location?
In America somewhere. Okay. Yeah, so that's another good one because sometimes you're right. They'll get them in, we're all shooting the whole thing in Miami.
It's around the corner, I can do it in 24 hours and it's cash.
Completely. You're saying it's close to home, that type of deal.
That's a possibility. Or a good place, as you say, like an exotic place to hang out.
But isn't the whole movie just Keanu in this sandwich between?
Yes, it's a lot of sandwich work. Reuben.
Is Keanu married?
Actually, you know what? I think his wife passed away.
Oh.
I'm gonna jump in there and say that happened.
Right.
Jay's going to go to
stand by for the clarification.
I'll look that up in a second, but it's from 2015. You're exactly correct. But do you want the description of the film?
Please do.
Knock Knock. It is a mystery/crime film, 1 hour, 39 minutes. Two nubile stranded women reveal a sinister agenda after they spend the night with a married architect. Brackets, Keanu Reeves, close bracket.
So they sent him that, and he said yes, and then the script followed.
Had me at Nubile. Do you think that's what happened, Robbie? Had him at Nubile because it's a Blumhouse movie, so he might have got a cut of the profits as well, Tone.
Right. And they've probably sent storyboards of what the early scenes will look like to build on.
So again, let's just assume he's a grieving widow. How old is Keanu now?
He's in his early 50s, I believe.
Oh, he's exact same age as me.
Oh, is he really?
Yes. I'm one of these people who, do you do this where you look up actors who are the same age as you?
Yes.
To see how you're travelling in comparison.
For example, Brad Pitt is in and around my age.
Well, for me, it's Russell Crowe.
Killing him.
Also from New Zealand. Keanu Reeves. And I think it's Nicolas Cage.
Now, see, you versus Nicolas Cage is an interesting one. Because he had you around the Ghost Rider time, but these days it is straight to video, straight to download for young Nicolas Cage, Robbie.
Mate, you're talking about one of my favourite actors.
Have you ever worked on a Nicolas Cage film?
No, I haven't. I have not.
Not yet.
It was on TV, Con Air on Friday night. Bloody good film.
Con Air is hilarious because it's a comedy.
Yeah.
When you actually look at it as a comedy, it's like a Naked Gun style deal. It is. Think about the end credits. All of the lovable serial killers, one by one, turn to camera and do a big smile. It's like, you have been watching, like the end of Are You Being Served? It's like Steve Buscemi, the lovable child molester. There he is.
You're right. Here's the thing, though, Tone. Was he really a child molester? Because he was. I always thought that he was, but he wasn't. He killed. Garland Green was his name, and he killed 30 or 40 people.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah, he's a mass murderer.
But not children.
Okay.
He only drank the tea with the little girl, but they were just friends, right, and then he got back on the plane.
So he only murdered 40 people. Pardon me for besmirching his reputation.
Hey, I'm going to throw something at you. The best new television shows of 1998. Because
it's a hot topic.
The reason I throw this out, Tommy, is because you would know one of them very, very well. Sea Change, you were in that. No, the panel started in 1998.
Oh, yes. Indeed.
Now,
yes.
Robbie, stop me, or Tone, stop me if anyone knows or something about one of these. Breakers.
I know it.
What was Breakers?
Channel 10. It was on late at night and also at 3:30 in the afternoons. And it was great. It was a diverse cast from memory.
It was like Home and Away, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was much more diverse. Right. It was seminal for the time.
Right.
What was diverse in 1998? I think someone with, you know.
Bruce Samson wasn't in it.
There was Ruben. Ruben was in there. There you go. Okay. Ruben was like I don't know. He's like a Sri Lankan or something. And Ruben was like the main guy. He was always.
What do breakers refer to? Like surf?
Surf. And then like they're making money at the sandwich shop. Oh. Ruben made a mean sandwich. And yeah.
Do you really know Breakers?
I know it. It wasn't Melissa Tkaatz, but it was like
Melissa
that kind
Bell.
Belly was
Melissa Doyle.
No, Melissa was George.
Melissa Doyle.
Melissa Manchester.
No.
So but anyway, was great show. 10, it was Channel 10, and didn't they try and they sort of slated to make like 750 shows per year?
Yes.
They commissioned something extraordinary number, and after shooting about 600 of the 750 in the year, they realised that, say, 500 of them sucked.
Yeah. It was too late.
Well, you know, so they kind of then ran them out at sort of midnight, didn't they?
Well, that's what Ash is saying.
And then it never got
another go.
It never got another go.
Well, what's the most breakneck speed you've been on? Many Australian dramas over the years, and Working Dog are famous for their shoots that aren't lengthy and boring. Mm-hmm. You get in, you do your work, you go home. It's wonderful. Mm. How long does it take you to shoot an episode of Utopia at the moment, Tommy?
2 days.
Love it.
Are you serious?
Wow. I love it when people come. If I've ever been on one of
your... It's only because they all talk so fast.
True. There's a bit of that.
If they talked at a normal pace, it'd go up to 3 days, surely.
No, but we shoot quick. I think we've got short attention spans. We'd rather just do it, get on, and
and move on to something else. Exactly. Robbie, what's the most arduous day that you could... A show that you've been working on as an actor, an Australian drama, or something, even an American.
The longest.
They just drag it out, takes forever.
Ads are in a right. world of their own when it comes to, you can get there and you've got 30 seconds to cover that day or 2 days. Like I did a 45 second ad over 2 days, one of those beer ads where I was the blind guy years ago. 2 days, and they look, and the advertising guys, they get there and they talk about the film they're making.
Yes.
You don't disavow them of that. You go, yeah, mate, we're making a film today. That's exactly what we're doing.
Remember
buddy.
The story you told me when you were the one about when you had doing the Tui's ad where you had mechanical breastfeeding?
Yeah, yeah. You're in the zone. You're in the area. Yep.
So remember what could you retell the story of your chat with the director that day?
Oh, just the night before. And it was sitting in the bar, and it was just like, man, we've got a big shoot. We've got a big story to tell over these next few days. This is the director in the night before, and it's like, yeah, we do. It's going to be quite something. It's kind of like a moving insight into kind of, lactation, expression of ideas and sort of feeding of the youth around beer through fake tits. So, again, it was difficult to kind of, and he was drawing in so many artistic kind of inspiration.
Did he use the phrase narrative arc?
He did. Mate, it was like that. And anyway, so for the next 2 days, we punched out 45 seconds of what wasn't regarded as a great ad, but the passion that was poured into it over those 2 days. But also, too, you arrive there and they look at it and they go, man, we've got 45 seconds to cover in this 48-hour period. We are up against it.
Yes. Yeah, what are we going to do?
And the panic, my God, you know, and they, So, look, they people can really get themselves into a decision-making funk.
But don't you also, because I know blokes who direct ads and they say they pay a lot of money, But in return for that money, you've got to have 700 people chuck their opinions in. They have the row of chairs, and it'll be the bloke from the agency, it'll be the client, it'll be Clem Fandango, the work experience boy from Toast of London. Everyone just chucking in their ideas.
What they reckon until you get to the point where, yes, we're finally great. I think those mechanical tits look great.
Absolutely. And effectively, if you look at those sort of those comedy ads over the last 30, they're all pretty much just reruns of the two Ronnie sketches. Like, they just pick it, like all those, well, we get a lot of English advertising executives come out to Australia, right? They go, hey, we'll push this
and
on.
And they figure we've never seen this.
Yeah, we've never. Well,
they don't realise we had the two Ronnies down under.
Yeah, we watched it was more popular here than at home.
That's right. And they can just recycle that gear and call it as their own.
Yeah, absolutely. Just whack a beer bottle in at the end of it and call it gold.
Now, that's a good slogan, actually. I might use that. Hey, Jay, you've been looking at me. Some details on some facts so far.
I've got a few things. 1998, you asked about TV shows that debuted in 1998. I'll give you a couple more. Sea Change, which you mentioned as well, but also Pokemon, Teletubbies, and All Saints all debuted. That I don't know if you'll remember these or not, Tony. You probably will. Strassman.
Oh, Strassman was the David Strassman, but he also did the same show in New Zealand. Someone told me that he was just going from country to country and doing the same show.
That's genius.
Brilliant.
He's on Channel 9, and also
he needs to start doing like a Strassman. You know how puppetry of the penis just have they license it out?
Yeah.
He should be teaching, you know, hand up the bear's ass to other ventriloquists around the world.
Who could spread
it? Uzbeki. Tommy, you've sold formats around the world. That would go well. Hey, is Thank God still going anywhere? I love asking this question. Thank God he was in many, many countries. Is it still going anywhere?
I think there might be a version in Russia.
Isn't the Russian one where they did like 600 episodes or something?
They just churn them out.
But wasn't every scenario just, it's the secret police?
And did they change, thank God, to thank Putin?
Often they removed the religious overtones. It was a tricky format to roll out in some countries. China was tough.
What did they call it? Thank the heavens.
Thank the heavens that you are present.
On this lucky occasion. Yes.
But they wouldn't allow anything that, obviously, nothing about the military or the police, nothing involving a doctor, because that would be mocking authority.
Right.
We helped them with scenarios. We said, well, what about one where someone comes home and she's babysitting? They go, no babysitters in China. One child policy. We don't need babysitters. Grandparents look after kids. So everything was basically Confucius.
I know. Everything. It's always this. Thank God you're here. I've got an apartment block in Sydney. Would you like to buy it?
Any more updates, Jay?
Final TV show of 1998 was a children's TV show called Misery Guts.
Based on the Morris Gleitzman book.
Yep.
Okay, Rob, let's go back to All Saints, because this is what I believe this to be your crowning achievement thus far.
Oh.
You've done a lot of things in life. You won Trop Fest. You've had your own series on the ABC. But this is my favourite because, and this is something on Joy of Sets Tone that Robbie and I discussed many years ago.
Dropping the line in.
Yes, it is. Yes. But All Saints is one of the places where it took place.
Yeah, I got this one in. Yep.
Here we go. Now, Rob Carlton, I understand that you and another Australian actor were part of a bet.
Yep. That's right. So, you know, we'd been, you know, with a face like this, you often get guest characters.
Yes.
And not the romantic leads, Ash. Basically, the guest character, you come on and the romantic leads will bash you up and kill you. And then they'll look good. And the audience will feel, it's kind of like a ritual sacrifice where the entire audience feels good that guy's dead.
So it's
ancient tribal stuff.
Yep. Weirdo's gone.
Yeah.
You know, let's get back to it.
So this has returned to Wandon Valley.
That's exactly right.
It's safe to go to the surf club in Summer Bay again.
That's right.
Thank goodness the water rats aren't blown up.
That's that type of thing. So in an effort to re-empower ourselves, those of us that look like us challenged one another to see if we could sneak the line, take off your panties, into any Australian drama that you could. Now, it's a difficult challenge because, as you know, you're not in the edit suite and you don't have the power of the final cut.
Right.
But if you're good at it, you can get it through with a couple of ways. Artistic grounds is the best.
Artistic grounds is the best.
So the character is the sort of thing that without this utterance,
the
audience will be the poorer for it. Because it really illuminates where the character's coming from.
Well, I mean, I'm sold.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing one of the episodes where you got it through was on All Saints.
That's right. I don't think it was in its 1998. It wasn't in its first year. We had to really wait more for its sixth and seventh year.
Yeah, when they were just accepting suggestions from the cast. But some shows, like, it would be harder, easier to get it in some, like an All Saints, if you were a guest presenter on Play School, for example. I'm tipping that would be harder to...
Well, Justine Clark did say to me, Rob, I can't be part of this bet.
Sure.
Right, sure.
What about Jayla Guy?
Jayla Guy has tried on a number of times and has, you know, had the right accurate time.
I remember the moment is, in All Saints, is that you're strapped to a bed, are you not? They've captured you, the weirdo, and you are being strapped to a bed as they try and sedate you.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you turn to one of the All Saints...
and yell, seemingly out of nowhere, Ed, I'll grant you that... take off your panties.
Yeah.
And I did, because it's one of those things that I've discovered.
Said to a male nurse.
I did. Look, again, in my experience, if you go from 0 to 100, that boom, it's out. They're like, what just happened then? Move on. Did that just happen back there? And then it's part of the milieu.
Brilliant. I see the milieu.
Yeah. And they can't cut around it.
Well, I did that on a show. That was where I was actually really quite sneaky and used the tight schedule on a show called The Finder.
Okay. Right. Now, what was The Finder for those that don't?
Oh, is that a movie?
Yeah, that's right.
With Gary Sweet?
No, not Gary Sweet.
The other Gary Sweet?
Gary Day?
No, not Gary Day.
Busey? Gary Beers?
No, none of the great Garys. I'll give you another hint. He was in Phoenix.
Steve Bastoni?
Westaway.
No. Westaway.
Westaway fans will be throwing their MP3 players out the window.
So he's a beauty. So Westy and I were doing this thing, and I was playing the computer geeky nerd, right?
Oh, good.
Now, here's the trick. It was a thriller, and so there was a whole lot of things had to. Now there was a key plot point at the very last line of the scene.
Oh God!
Right, we were up against it. I knew they were covering the whole scene in just one shot, and we had one crack at it.
So this is the old 1-to-1 ratio, Tommy.
We've got. There's no cutting around it. They can't cut in. They can't cut out. Whatever they've got, they got to get that
was
whole
this at
scene.
The end of the day, too, Robbie.
Everyone was panicking. The director was edgy. Their line producer was on set tapping the watch. It was game on. I've looked around and gee, I thought, you know what I thought? I thought I can use this to serve myself. And so we get through the scene. I'm acting my little heart out. Of course, I'm in a wheelchair. You know, playing a kind of, you know, a gifted but disabled creature.
Sure.
Being very smart, trying to help out. And we get to Westy and I. He's being very dramatic. We lie voice down here. Lie down.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, boom, boom. And then we get, and I know the plot point's about to come. And he says to me, thanks, Wheels. You're amazing. And I meant to say, hey, if you need any more help, you know where to find me.
Yeah.
And instead, I look at him and I say, take off your panties. Now, you can't tell me that you can't tell me that didn't inform the character.
Big time.
Help the story and really get a sense of the Westaway Wheels character dynamic.
The
and
whole
relationship.
Set would have been covered in milieu. Now, once you'd said it and it had landed and they'd called cut, do you then sheepishly roll yourself away or do you sit there like nothing's gone wrong?
No. At that point, you just sit back and you wait for the accolades. And here's why. here's how I know they're going to come, because they had a number of days left to shoot on the thing, right? And film sets, Tommy, you'd know this better than that, there's a momentum built. And you've got to get, you know, and often what gets you through to the end in a positive framework is delusion. So by sitting back there going like that, and I knew they had to use a scene. So there's no way that they can look at it and say, well, that's terrible. We're all in a spot. So they immediately look for reasons why it's fantastic. Yep. And Westy, of course, is an old pro. He just leaned in. He said, that was brilliant, mate.
Yeah.
He said, that's brilliant. He said, and here's the thing, because so much of Aussie mateship is based on this kind of, you know, faux homoerotica stuff.
Yeah.
I think you've really jumped into what the Australians really need right now.
You'd added sub-levels to the character and the plot.
Thank you, Tommy.
No. But what is the total? What's the take off your panties tally? Where does it stand?
Of successful lands.
I think I'm sitting at around four.
Yeah, I found the All Saints one, the Water Rats one, which is just said, to be honest, that's gratuitous. Yeah. You are in a standoff with
Jay Lagaya,
and he says, get down from there, Kiwi Dave, put down that gun, and you just look at him and say, take off your pants.
No, I think you slightly missed it because I think I've got him at gunpoint.
You do have a gun.
I think I've got him at gunpoint, and he's got his hands up, and I find a pair of handcuffs in the drawer, sure. To which I hold them up and ad lib the line, bedtime.
Right.
And then put those down, and at that point I fire out the line, take off your panties. So as far as I'm concerned, it's contextual.
Jay Lagaya.
Oh, so hang on, this is a good idea. See? So the idea, it's like throwing a ball to someone.
I'll pay it forward.
So now it's up to Lagaya
to find the right project to the right time.
He's got one.
Throw it to Cate Blanchett. Yes. She's got to get it into something.
Throw it to a Channel 9 newsreader and just see what happens.
Throw it to Amber Sherlock in a complete turnaround from her normal put some clothes on act. Now it's take some off.
I like that. And just lastly, your character was Wheels, Rob.
Yes.
It wasn't based on Degrassi.
No.
It wasn't based on E Street. Wasn't Marcus Graham?
Wheels. Yeah.
He was Wheels.
Were you in E Street, Rob Carlton?
Yes.
As?
Oh, look, I got kicked out of E Street.
Where have you not been booed from?
Well, now here's
what fictional Australian town are you welcoming?
Just back off for a second, and here's what broke my heart about that. Tony Martin, your namesake, played the
Reverend
Bob.
Yep.
He was meant to be a Christian character. He was meant to be like, and if you're gonna kind of find succour and comfort from any character on Australian TV, you'd assume it was Reverend Bob.
Sure.
He was the one that kicked me out of E Street.
Right.
Yeah, you're looking at me.
Oh, I was just going. Did you try to work it in as Kerry?
As Kerry Packer?
Because he could get.
He would have.
He could have barked it at anyone. At Jeff Marsh.
Yeah. No. I didn't touch it. I actually really liked that script. And to be honest with you, I was so terrified of looking at Port. Like I was like, in all honesty, I was so afraid of ruining that whole thing that my entire mind was actually concentrating on the job.
Right. So you didn't get Kerry Packer's most famous line, get that fucking shit off the air now, unquote.
The amount of shows we've had where Kerry Packer's been in, still no one's done the naughtiest home videos, get that shit off my network.
That's right.
Now, there's a lot of argument, Tony. You and I have been having this argument for 10 years about what was actually being played on the screen.
It was different states because it was being run in all different states. So I think in one state it was
so
a child.
It's the Doug Mulray naughtiest home videos.
It was all the filthy stuff that they couldn't put
it
to air.
It was animals having sex, basically. It was
more than that, Tom.
It was kangaroo's genitals in a child's mouth. In one state. Because I think in Adelaide it might have gone the furthest. It might have got to the 50-minute mark. It got to 40 minutes in Melbourne. Before Cheers just suddenly came on.
Cheers.
But like 10 past nine.
And did Cheers come on mid-episode or was we got the opening of Cheers?
No, they went to the ads and then they came back from the ads and Cheers was on.
Yeah, that's a reasonable question because I think the opening music for Cheers is beautiful, isn't it? It'd be horrible to start in the middle of an episode.
Exactly. You're cheated.
Well, Jay, on that note, we've got a lot more to come back to. Jeez, there's a lot to cover. Too many notes. But what have we learnt so far about being in the moment, Jay?
Well, let's wrap up on Keanu Reeves. Okay,
please.
So he is 52, born in September of 64. Nicolas Cage, born in January of 64. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on, Tony, where you fall
in
that
June,
spectrum.
Then Russell Crowe, I think, is around March.
So you're just a little bit younger than Nick, a little bit older than Keanu.
Wow.
That's it. And Ash, you were correct. Now it was his girlfriend, Jennifer Syme, who died in a car crash in the early 2000s.
Terrible. Okay.
He suffered a tragedy if you look it up. Now, people also ask about Keanu. Google always tells you other questions that people ask. Number one, is Keanu Reeves dead? That's the number one question that gets asked about.
Who is Googling that? Who's sitting at home?
People to be a performance based question.
People.
Richard Wilkins.
The other one is Keanu Reeves part Japanese? Which is an interesting question. Yeah,
that's
gets
a fair
asked
question.
Apparently. Now, Ash, we've heard of Newton's law of motion. Right? As you've given us the law of airports. If you look around long enough, you'll find somebody you know.
Definitely.
Ed has given us the laws of constipation ads.
Yeah.
So we've learned all sorts of things today. If you type in Ash Williams on YouTube, the first thing you get is Ash Williams US TV 2013. Very sort of generic sort of video that comes up. Then you get Ash Williams plugs important things. Now, I hope that is not, because I Googled earlier when you were talking about using the Amex card
Yes.
Okay. And I typed in anal use cocaine, which came up with the following things. Anal use rectal administration.
Never type the word anal into Google.
I mean, that's the basic. That's what they want.
This is exactly what it came up. Then the next question is, how do I safely conceal drugs in my anus?
Safely?
Drugs where the sun don't shine, a cultural history. Anal cocaine administration. But the other thing
is... that the governing body?
That's where Dick Pound went straight to there after.
Did he really? That's the other ACA.
But doing that, the term is plugging. So given this title on YouTube, Ash Williams plugs... important things.
Absolutely.
What exactly are you doing in that video?
Well, I'd have to watch it. I don't remember it, but I know I was next to Ida Buttrose, so we'll have to watch it.
Wait and see.
That is a Studio 10 clip. It's an unrelated. Okay, we've got plenty more to come back to. We're going to play our IMDb game. We've got a list here of everyone's IMDb. Stop me when you get to one that there might be a story about. Tom, for the first time, I saw the Castle's US poster yesterday.
Remind me, how does it differ from the Australian one?
I'll tell you in a good sizzle, Tommy. You've learned how this works. Excellent work. And plenty more coming to you. This is all about being in the moment. So thank you for taking this moment with us, and we'll be back with more in a moment.